In this session today, this afternoon, I would like to do two or three things. Firstly, to talk for a few minutes and address some of the issues of continuing practice and the fact that some of you have been here a few days and some of you are just arriving, and how this might affect your own perspective of where your practice is. And then we can have a guided meditation, and at the end perhaps 10 minutes or so of questions about technique, about the practice itself. Can you hear me at the back? It's no? Can you hear me now? Okay. So in the tradition, there are actually hundreds and hundreds of ways of meditating. There are hundreds of objects of meditation. And when you home in onto a section of practice, for example, practicing observation of the body as being the simplest, direct, clearest place where we can put our consistent attention. So even there, in the Satipatthana Sutta, it says you can look at your body like this, in parts, you can look at your body bit by bit, you can take the whole body in one go. Choices. So one aspect that you might be attending to is that we have a choice over what to watch, what to pay attention to in our hugely complex field of mind and body. So we try and home in the choice and say, okay, take the breath. The breath is very important. It's something that's there all the time. It's a flow or a rhythm that we can observe. We can like ride on like a boat on a stream, as if we're riding on a stream. We can ride on the breath. We can be with it as it changes. It's not too gross. It's a little subtle. Sometimes we lose it, sometimes we find it. We play catch, what's the game with the children's game of catching someone, tag, yeah, something that's a little bit disappearing, and then we find it and we disappear. So this helps us to dive a little deeper into our mind-body field. It's a bridge between the mind and the body. Things in the body affect it, things in the mind affect it. So we can see the breath changing, and it helps us to understand our whole mind-body field. But still, we have choices. And so one of the things that we might look at is giving ourselves permission to play a little bit with these choices. Now, that doesn't mean to say that 1 minute we observe the breath in our body, the next minute we observe the birds outside, the next minute we I choose to pull up a memory from my past. Now I choose the breath again. Now I choose the breath here. Now I choose the breath here. Now I choose the breath out there. It's more like giving ourselves permission to rest in what really is happening, even though it's different from what happened yesterday. It may be different from what we have been taught by another teacher. It may be now clear here, now clear here. So giving ourselves permission to be a little different now and then, and to stay with it. The general instruction is to be with the breath from the beginning to the middle to the end, where exactly we experience the breath is relatively individual. For some people, the strong, clear experience of the breath might be with the flow of air. For another person, it might be the movement of expansion and contraction of the body. If it's clear, stay with it. But have the sense of the entire process of breathing like a wave that comes in and goes out. Try and track it. Try and, you know, follow it. Lakov acharai. So keep with it as much as you can. Now, if you've been here for a few days, you may want to have a sense of going deeper into this practice of attention to the breath. And there is where it gets interesting. Because, for example, when you begin to be comfortable with resting in the experience of breathing, negotiating the flow of change, now a short breath, now a long breath, now a tight breath, now a loose breath, and gradually the disturbances of the world and of the mind get less and calm comes in and you just are with the flow of the breath. So now we can begin to go deeper into various qualities. The quality of catching the breath as quickly as possible. Returning from, for example, a journey in the mind, getting off the train. Like the image that I used before, the thoughts come, they take us like a train, we get on the train, we forget where we are, we go off on the thoughts, and they drop us somewhere else, at a station down the road. We've forgotten where we are, this whole journey, suddenly we land again, and we're here again. How quickly do we notice this? How quickly can we get off the train, come back to where we are right now? The here and the now. That's one aspect. This is the aspect of sharpness, the energy of kind of the speed at which we can come back to our object of attention. Another quality is the quality of continuousness, persistence, staying with as long as possible, keeping on, keeping on, keeping on. I mentioned in the previous 5 days that there's a quality of a chicken sitting on the eggs, being able to stay and let things ripen, staying with things, persistence, steady energy of steadiness. And what happens when we begin to look at our total experience, we may also be able to dive into the issue of, I would say, feeling tone. What is the color, what's the feeling state at this moment? As we breathe, do we feel comfortable? Do we feel uncomfortable? Do we feel a little restless? Do we feel desire? Do we feel desire for a result right now? Do we feel a desire for deeper concentration? What's this desire doing to us? How is it manifesting? How is it manifesting in our concentration? How is it manifesting in the quality of the breath? Do we desire for freedom, for going home? Or going to a monastery for the next 50 years? Or do we desire a tea break right now? How is this change? What does this do to us? So the quality of desire or the quality of aversion. I'm hot. I don't like this air conditioning situation, they never get it right. It doesn't work. It's either too hot or too noisy or too cold or too something. The mind works on it. How is this happening to us? Our nature of pushing away what we don't like. So these are begin to be, on quite a deep level, these begin to be the kind of experiences we can work at with wisdom that kind of come with our attention. We need attention first, we need steadiness, but then they come up and we may begin to experience ourselves as we really are. Joseph made this comment once that there are three kinds of people: those that are desire oriented, those that are aversion oriented, means pushing away things they don't like, and those that are delusion oriented. Delusion is ashlaya or confusion. And he said that you can easily tell them apart, because if the three go into a hotel room, the desire oriented person will check all the beds and say, I want this one, it's the nicest. The aversion oriented person will go into a hotel room and say, nothing works here, I'm changing the room around, I don't like this and I don't like that, and I'm taking the bed here and I'm putting the chair there. And the delusion oriented person will say, where's the bed? So we have a tendencies. We can watch these tendencies. Are we an aversive type? It's not a blame. Nothing to do with self-blame. Self-knowledge. Seeing how it happens. Seeing how it comes up. And that requires a little more time. So after 5 days here, you can begin to watch these patterns in us. And breaking these patterns by our attention is part of the practice of vipassana, is part of the path of transformation. Seeing the patterns, looking at them, giving our attention to them. So, to summarize, the people that have come here just now have received relatively similar instructions to those that have been here 5 days. The people who have been here 5 days, therefore, have to see this as a deepening process, doing the same thing, the same object, the same breath, but just going deeper into the qualities of our observation, what it is we're seeing in the whole mind-body field, and learning more vipassana, more insight into our changing nature, letting go of our changing nature. Okay, that's just a few comments to start off with, and we'll have a few minutes at the end for questions on practice. So we may like to start by examining our posture, checking through how we sit. Checking that our posture is erect and open. Our back is supporting itself. We can feel the weight. The back like a pile of coins, one on top of the other. and get a sense of sitting solid, the dignity of sitting in our place. Balanced, steady, ready for anything. Sitting on the earth. Aware of sitting, knowing I am sitting. And with a soft, open attention, we receive the experience of breathing. The breath flows in. And the breath flows out. Get a sense of each entire breath and be aware of the place where the breath is most clear in your body. One breath at a time. You can greet each breath like an old friend. Welcome each new breath as if it's your first breath. An old friend you haven't seen for a long time. As you breathe, the body becomes calm, the mind becomes calm, ease, relaxed. And we can feel ourselves very close to the breath, that we are not a distant observer, but we are living inside the experience of breathing. Just knowing every breath as it comes, as it goes, as it turns in the body from in-breath to out-breath. If the mind wanders, if you went away, just know it. It's okay. And just be aware of that moment, which is a very precious moment of discovering that you've been away and now you're back into the body, into the direct experience, the truth of this moment, remembering where you are. If the mind comments, the judge, the observer, pops up in the mind and says, I should do better, I should go deeper, I can't this or I can that, Just know that that's the dialogue in the mind. The judge, the commentator, just know it and let it go. If there are sensations in the body, strong, clear sensations, if you're aware of something in your body, a pain or a pressure or a heat or cold, touch sensation, something clear, you can go to it with a gentle attention. Receive it. See how it changes. As we sit balanced, as we attend to each moment what is revealed, what is arising for us in this moment, we may feel sensations that are comfortable or pleasant. Maybe it's a calm, pleasant feeling. So check, are we leaning into this experience? Do we want more? Are we holding on to it? We may experience an uncomfortable sensation, a pain, a discomfort, something we don't like. Are we pushing it away? Are we trying to stop it? How does it feel to us, this uncomfortable experience? Really try and understand it. What is it and what do we do with it? Or is there a neutral experience that is neither attractive nor uncomfortable? Does it make us bored? And be aware of mind states. Restlessness, subtle level of anxiety, tiredness, dreaminess, doubt, confusion, the mind not sure. Not stable. Just be aware of these things without judging, noting clearly what's happening, receiving it with a little bit of kindness to ourselves. This is the truth in us at this moment. And just hold it in our attention as it changes. After a while, come back to the breath. So if there's any questions about technique, practice questions, you're welcome to ask them. Did you hear the question? Everyone hear the question? I think this is close to what I said at the beginning, that we need to accept a kind of individualization of our practice. And particularly if we've been practicing for some time, we are on a kind of a journey of discovery. What we're discovering is really our own consciousness. That's what we're discovering. We're discovering our consciousness. And every consciousness is a bit different. Every person is a bit different. One person will feel the breath here and another person here, and this is fine. And you can work on it in your slightly differently if you like, as our own biography, our own story. But there is an issue of conflict where you have very clear different directions in different spiritual paths, which are really very, very clear. And those conflicts are, for example, letting go into what comes up for you in the moment, or putting in front of your mind a picture, like a visualization. Here is a very clear difference. Or repeating words as a mantra in the mind. Or even focusing very, very deep on one tiny little part of the body, and just staying with that for all the period here, whereas a more open practice, there is also a somewhat conflict between those two things. So where there is this kind of conflict, I would say you're here in this retreat, stay with Christopher type instructions. But where it's fine-tuning, which is to do with your own spiritual path and spiritual growth and what you learnt, and it's inside you already, I would keep with that. Notice that it's not a real conflict. It's a skill which you learn to kind of ride this, you know, in the boat along the waves. So a wave for one person will be like that and another person like that. But so in a general sense, I think you can take Christopher's instruction as being to avoid conflict and confusion that are to do with real, you know, different spiritual highways, rather than the small. So if it worked for you on the small micro level, if it works for you, keep it. It's valuable. They're tools. We need them. Yeah.
My question is about the posture of the back. From what I understand, Christopher said to bring the hip forward and to straighten the diaphragm, and to the back should be still straight.
Yeah.
But still, I don't know where should I put my shoulders back, and my head to here, then I think it's, at least I think it's the most straight, but I feel like pain in the back, or to do it comfortable, and I believe it's less straight.
It's better to be comfortable. You don't want to force a kind of an army position. Especially the British Army, that really kept saying, you know, you put your chest out. This is the classic statement, put your chest out. I learnt it in school, by the way, in my English school. The first thing they said when you do sports, put your chest. I don't know why they said that. So it just makes you look just ridiculous and very uncomfortable. So we are, the whole point is this feeling. I would say the two dimensions of sitting posture are being erect, as zakuf, is it? Being erect and being solid. Solid as a mountain and erect as a tree. But not forcing the body to be straight. Don't do it. It's a... it will not be, you're not trying, this is a, in a way part of the mind, play of the mind that you can look at, of a sort of a striving, you know, trying to get, trying to push to get it right. Be relaxed. A sense of uprightness. But there's no, we're not trying to be a board, you know, like straight. It's a sense of uprightness. But now if you're a little bit like this, so slowly it'll come up, you know, over time, maybe you'll be a bit better. But if you feel without strain and relatively erect, it's fine. It's fine. It's better to be without strain and a little bit round than rather than struggling for 5 days to get the perfect posture. And then you leave the course and think, what? What did I do actually? It's kind of, what's the difference between this and hitamlut? So, be comfortable so that you can work inside. This is the main, we're working with our mind, our knowing. And that's the main work here. This is secondary. The posture is a secondary. It allows sense of openness, sense of strength, sense of erect, energy flowing, etc. But not a struggle. So even if it's a little bit, when the hips turn, automatically things become a little straighter. The hips turn kaka, like that. Instead of like that, when we turn the hips, we tend to go like that. But not like that. We don't need.
Say something more about the standing position. You seem to be doing quite a lot of it.
Well, firstly, to know the quality of standing, how it's different from all the other postures. It has certain qualities about it. It has a special way of working with weight and gravity. It has experiences of pressure. It has experiences of tension. It has experiences of very small muscles moving as we change our weight, you know, in the foot, like tiny little way of seeing in the foot, tiny little changes and automatic almost, that we normally wouldn't notice at all as we stand. But here we can go into the little things, the magic of the small things, and pay attention to those tiny messages as we stand. So we're opening, really, each experience. We're simply keeping opening things, and with standing, that's all we do, is we open the experience of standing. Listening to all the messages, feeling the weight, feeling the uprightness. What's the experience of being upright? It's a very human experience. I have just sensed that when it said Ma'amad Sinai, standing to receive Torah, it's a bit like that. We're human beings, we stand to, and in the standing is a kind of teaching. We stand and receive. It's a very human quality. So what's the humanness of standing? And just being present, another image is between the earth and the sky. I mean, these are images that don't have to take them too seriously, metaphors, if you like, but the sense of uprightness, height, all these things, and mainly pressure and contact and small changes in the feet, and sometimes just go into the breathing and then leave the breathing again and go back into this sense of being upright. It's the sense of the posture. Fill yourself again with knowing all that is happening to you at this minute, and it does change from moment to moment. There's a lot of change in standing because you're very still, and yet there's pressure and some tension. So the two together make for quite a rapid series of changes that you can watch in the way you're in the, you know, the small things in the feet and the muscles in the legs and so on. Just keep track of all the little changes. It's basically, that's what it is. Yeah. Can you speak a bit louder?
Is there a recommendation of locking or unlocking the knees when you stand?
I think it's to stand as you would stand waiting for a bus. I mean, you wouldn't specially lock the knees, and you wouldn't specially stand in a kind of Aikido, Tai Chi, bent knees. You would be standing relaxed, with your feet, legs relatively straight, but not your knees locked with force. So it's standing straight and but relaxed, kind of.
And another thing, may I just offer a suggestion for this question about the posture and getting it straight and smoothly?
Sure.
So just what works for me on that is just when it's feeling a bit round, just taking with the in-breath, let the in-breath make you a bit more straight, and then relax with the out-breath, and then again, with the in-breath, take you a little straight, and then relax with the out-breath, and so the body straightens out by itself, along with the breath, and it's coming out at the same time, so I'd be able to
I'll just repeat that because some people may not have heard it. There was a suggestion here, and I think it's quite a nice idea, that sometimes we can actually learn to use the breath to help us. It's not just that we watch the breath. At times we can use it. And I think that this is legitimate in our practice. It's legitimate skill. For example, we can use it, the suggestion was, to help us be straight without strain by just breathing ourselves up a little bit. Now, that doesn't mean to say our whole practice should be manipulation. We're actually not trying to manipulate here, but it's also very wise to know how to use our breath for difficult situations in our life. So here we can use our breath to become a little more erect, we can use our breath to dissolve pain, we can use our breath to dissolve confusion or insecurity. So we, in a sense, at times we can use our breath, but I would say not all the time. Sometimes we use our breath as a tool, but most of the time be with it. And when we use our breath, Thich Nhat Hanh says breathing in, calming body and calming the mind. Breathing out, easing the body, easing the mind. Breathing in, I am a mountain. Breathing out, I am a lake, a pool, reflecting everything. This is a little more manipulative than we're doing here, but it's legitimate. It's part of our practice, providing we are aware as we do it. The awareness of using the breath, it's okay, but as I say, not all the time. Well, one quick question, then we will finish. You feel your head dropping. Yeah. It's a sense of heaviness, almost like tiredness in the body. Things dropping. Have you been here 5 days? So it's a issue of working with energy. I think it's a question of watching it as a quality of energy. It's the quality of my energy right now. And you can feel heaviness coming. Okay, heaviness, feeling the heaviness, feeling your head drop, and then you'll come out of it and change your posture a bit after a while. But it's good to watch it as a quality. This is what I said, that people who've been here 5 days can get more into that. The science of qualities, the quality of our breath, the quality of our experience, heavy, light, free, closed, pleasant, unpleasant, etc. We can get more and more into this, understanding the qualities of our experience. And this is an example.